glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, they always do such a wonderful job. Man, why don't you give our music team a big hand? Praise the Lord. Just so grateful to be a part of what God does through this ministry. Man, we are a part of something big. Amen. There's things going on all over the world at all hours of the day and night because of what was started from this place and this ministry. Somebody reached out to me this week. They had reached out to Pastor Bill before, I believe, from Switzerland. And this week they had called the ministry and they said that they were watching us as they're looking, they're in transition, as they're looking for a church home. She said, I was so excited that you mentioned us specifically. She said, I rewound it and I did not tell my kids and went and got them. And they came in and I played it. And she said, it just blessed us so much that we were greeted and we felt the love at being part of the family. And really, I mean, there are people watching us from all over, here in the U.S. and all over the country, and they're part of this family, right? Amen. Glory to God. She was talking about, excited about the next time that she can come home. We're looking forward to you and your family coming home, and that goes for any of you watching online tonight. We've got lots of things coming up, camp meetings coming up, but we're glad you're part of this Rhema family. We're glad you're part of it. Amen. Wow, that was weak. I think your microphone's turned down. Well, I hope you don't mind. The last time I spoke, we began sharing with you on a subject. Wow, that looks great. Called Years, Tears, and Fears, Overcoming Three Obstacles by Walking by Faith. And I said that I would, if it seemed good, that we would probably continue that the next time I spoke. And I thought, you know, if you speak on a Wednesday, maybe you should share it on a Wednesday again. Or if you speak on a Sunday, maybe you should share it on a Sunday. But really, with, you know, they record all the services. And if you miss the first part of this, I'm going to go over a little bit of it. But if you missed it, you could always go back and watch it or listen to it. So, right? But it just seemed good to continue along that line. And we started out in Mark 11. I'm going to read that scripture to you. And then we'll just review a little bit of what we talked about before. But in Mark 11, verses 22 through 24, it says, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Right? But what we said to you was, you know, the formula, if you could call it that, of believing that you receive, we believe and we speak and we receive. But in that in-between time, where oftentimes, you know, in this scripture, it says that we believe and that we say, in that in-between time, between our believing and our receiving, there are sometimes some things that get in the middle of that that will hinder our faith. Stuff that in this instance, as I was preparing for this message, the Lord just dropped those words in my heart, years, tears, and fears. And then from there, as I said last time we were talking, I began to pray that out and was studying that. And there are other things that will be obstacles to our faith, but years, tears, and fears. And that first one that we talked about, years, we said that it's time. Or, you know, we use the word years, but oftentimes we said in our lives that between our believing and receiving, time will elapse. You know, everything doesn't just happen as quickly as we want it to. Isn't that right? I mean, sometimes we tap our foot at the microwave waiting on our 2 minutes worth of popcorn. It's not quick enough. You know, if I want popcorn, I want it now. Right? But sometimes between when we are believing and receiving, there's some time that elapses. And we talked about that in between or that middle time, that what we place in that time can make a big difference. When I was a student here, I made mention of this when we first came back here. I made mention of how, as a student, and I was doing my first sermon, and I had a real hard instructor. Back then, he wasn't Pastor Tad. But, you know, you go up there in front of him to speak with much fear and trembling because you knew he knew a lot of stuff and you were young and you weren't sure that if everything that you were going to teach, you know, he was going to stand up and say, false doctrine. No, not me, you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But when I was preparing my message and I was talking about faith, the Lord illustrated it to me this way, and it helped me to understand it. The Lord said, you remember when you were a kid and you learned that 9 and 2 was 11. And, you know, when you first started doing math, in addition, 9 and 2 is 11. They kept telling me 9 and 2 is 11. And I got that down. They'd say, what's 9 and 2? And I'd say, it's 11. And one day I came to school and they said, 9 and 2 is 7. And I was like, look out now. I thought y'all told me that 9 and 2 was 11. And now you're telling me 9 and 2 is 7. And they got me convinced that 9 and 2 was 7. But just a little while later, they said 9 and 2 was 18. And I thought they had really messed up. But the reality was, it wasn't the 9 and it wasn't the 2. It was what we put in the middle that made the difference. Isn't that right? And so during this time, what we do makes all the difference. And the enemy will try to use that time against us to get us to let go of our faith, get us to talk different, get us to say things different, things that we shouldn't be saying. Well, I guess God didn't hear that prayer. I guess this time is the time I'm not going to get it. But what we do in that time, what if we were saying something different, right? If we allow time to be the determiner, we said, we'll fall short of receiving because there will potentially always be an obstacle caused by time. We said this within that time frame. We said sometimes it may be God preparing us for what's next. What if God is preparing you and I during that time? Well, if a week elapses, is that when I stop believing God? Is 2 weeks enough time to stop believing God? If God has spoken something to my heart, given me a dream or a destiny to fulfill, how long is too much time to elapse if I'm preparing for what God has for me next? So we said sometimes God will have us in that in-between time preparing us to go to the next stage. But we said sometimes, we told you, you know, I told on myself because I said, you know, you'd rather I tell on me than tell on you. I said, I've been the cause before of slowing something down that God is trying to do because, you know, there are some things, anything, remember I made mention of to you, just so we're clear, anything that Jesus paid for on our behalf, you're not waiting on God to heal you. Healing already belongs to us, right? So there are some things, though, that when it comes to money, oftentimes, because, you know, we've heard it before, we've heard it here before. God doesn't rain money out of heaven. He's not a counterfeiter. Oftentimes, he'll give it to us to help someone else. Isn't that right? You know, I always thought that, you know, when people say, oh, I just need enough for just me and my family, that's all I need. And they think that that's being pious in some way or humble. But, you know, if you can believe God for your needs to be met, can you believe for double so you can help someone else? Walk up to somebody and say, that mission trip you've been believing for money for here. Amen? But we said during that time, sometimes we can be the hindrance to that. Well, why would we ever do that? We ought to be quick to move when God is speaking to us. And then we said, lastly, we said the devil oftentimes will use time and he'll put up obstacles in our way to try to keep us from receiving what it is that God has for us. But no matter the reason, we said to you, hold steady. Amen? No matter what the reason is, and we read the scripture, Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. We said, how do we know if we're staying steady? It was the last thing we said, and we're going to move forward. How do we know if we're staying steady? We said that if you're staying steady in faith, there's an expectation. There's an anticipation that's occurring. You want to know if you're still in faith? Are you expecting anything? Are you acting like what you're believing for is coming to pass? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, if you believe in God for a new car, why not, you know, take some extra money and put it aside to pay the tags when the car comes? Why not get you a bucket and a sponge and some car wax, put it out in the garage? And when somebody says, what's that for? You say, oh, that's for the new car that I've got coming. When it gets here, I want to have all the supplies. We can be doing something right now. If we're believing God, can we be doing some things in anticipation of what God has got coming our way? Amen? Amen. Amen. That makes me happy too. We might face delays, setbacks, and seemingly unanswered prayers, but time never negates God's word. Amen. But sometimes time can be a hindrance to our faith. Here's the second thing that we didn't get to last time. And that's tears. Sometimes disappointments that we face can shake our faith. And when things don't always turn out like we planned, sometimes we can let our faith slip. And we've all faced disappointments. It's not my faith's confession to tell you that you're going to have disappointments in this life, but the scripture is clear. You're going to have some difficulties. Why? Because we've got an adversary. The enemy is not, we said to you, he's not on your side, right? He's not in your corner. He's not cheering you on. So there are going to be some disappointments sometimes because the enemy's going to see to it. He's going to try to bring things into our lives so that we will get off course, so that we'll stop believing God, so that we'll quit pushing back against the things that he's doing, and he'll stop our forward momentum in the destiny that God's got for us. Over the years, I have been in music ministry. I've been in helps ministry. I was an associate pastor. I was in a senior pastor role for a time. And I know in pastoring over the years, there have been people that came to me questioning why things didn't turn out like they wanted them to. Why things didn't turn out like they thought they should. Family members who died early. A spouse or a child that they became estranged from. Maybe it was a promotion that they didn't get. Somehow, though, they let the disappointment that they face be used by the enemy to let their faith slip. And the enemy will use those difficulties that we face to try to get us convinced that somehow God can't bring his word to pass in our lives. But how are we supposed to handle disappointments and setbacks when they come? It's a scripture in Habakkuk, the third chapter, that says this. In verse 17, I'm going to read verse 17 and 18 out of the New Living. Y'all want to hear something funny real quick? I've been here a while and I didn't realize they were putting those words right there too. I mean the scripture, just the scripture. I knew the other stuff was up there, but I hadn't been reading that. I don't know. Oh, Lord. It says this, Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in the God of my salvation. Now, this picture that he's painting here, it's like a farmer. This is when I read this scripture, this is how I picture it. I picture it like a farmer getting up in the morning and he stretches and he's like, that's weird. I didn't hear the rooster crow. Huh. And he steps out on the porch and the rooster's dead. And he looks over at the field that he planted, and the wind's knocked it all down, and it's gone. And he goes out to the cattle, and he looks, and there's just one little skinny old cow out there. The rest of them have already laid over and died. And that one skinny cow, he looks at it, and he says, I'm going to help you, buddy. And he flops his tongue out, and he gives up the ghost, too. This, in this situation, it looks like everything that this man had, everything the farmer had, is gone. And he said, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord and I'll be joyful in the God of my salvation. But when trouble comes to all of us, you know, Jesus said in John 16, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. He said, but be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. Isn't that right? But he didn't tell us that we wouldn't have trouble. Difficulties are going to come to all of us. As long as we're living on this earth, trials and disappointments are going to show up. But we need to understand this, that God is good even when life isn't. I said, God is good even when our life isn't. Even when there are problems, even when there are difficulties, we can never allow the devil or disappointment to determine the level of fulfilling our destiny. God's word has to be our final authority. If God said it, we believe it, and that settles it. Amen? Too often the enemy tries to convince us that we're going under or God's word must not be true because of difficulties that we encounter. But the scripture tells us in Hebrews 12 that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Isn't that right? Glory to God. The devil doesn't get to write your book. Oh, come on. That helps me if it doesn't help you. I said, the devil doesn't get to write your book. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Anytime I read that scripture, I think about when I was a kid and I read those Choose Your Own Adventure books. Anybody else ever read those? So if you've never read one of those, Choose Your Own Adventure books are a book where the author, he sets out, he writes a hero's tale, and he writes the tale from start to finish where the hero is able to get through everything that comes up in his life, and in the end, he has the victory. But then he goes back and he writes alternative scenarios. And in those scenarios, it ends up sometimes the guy doesn't make it and he dies. Sometimes he loses a part of the team that's with him. But you'll be reading through the book and all of a sudden the hero in the book, it'll say he comes to a bridge and he has a decision to make. He can wait and he can build a boat and cross the water, or he can try to cross the rickety bridge. If you choose to build the boat, turn to page whatever. And if you choose to cross the rickety bridge, turn to this page. I used to cheat a little bit because I'd end up picking the wrong choice and then I'd end up dying. And you know, I'm like, no, that's not what I meant to do. Jesus has written your story already. God has a plan for you. God's got something so good for you that, glory to God, if you could see it beyond the mountains that you're facing, it would change our lives. But all along the way, the devil's trying to write some chapters in there and get us to turn to a different page, to look at something different. And he brings up disappointments and trials, things to get us off course. But he doesn't get to dictate whether or not we make it. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory to God. We have to decide if we're going to let problems be stumbling blocks or stepping stones in our lives. Years ago, I knew a family that had gotten, their whole family had just absolutely gotten shipwrecked. In pastoring at this particular church that I was at the time, the patriarch of their family had passed away from a terminal disease. And they had all been believing God for him. They'd prayed for him, and they said, you know, we're all standing in faith for his complete healing. And, you know, months went by, and he would battle for a little while, and then he ended up, he died. And they got so shipwrecked in their faith that some of them, I don't know, you know, perhaps they are now, some of them quit going to church, some of them quit serving the Lord because they were like, well, God doesn't answer our prayers. What they didn't know, though, was that the patriarch, their dad, had become weary in the battle, and he had confided in some other people that he said, you know what, I'm born again, my family's going to be okay, I just want to go home to be with Jesus. There was no agreement there. So now, I'm not saying that that was the best for his life, understand me. I mean, because Jesus is a healer. But if I've never experienced something that somebody else is going through, I am not judging the circumstances they're going through. And what this gentleman was facing was difficult. And he started thinking about heaven. He started thinking about all the good things that were going to happen when he got there. He had already told his kids about Jesus. His wife was saved. His kids were all serving the Lord. He felt like it was okay for him to just make an exit. But he didn't tell his family. And so they were all shook up. Here's my point in that. We can never let go of the things that we know because sometimes there are things we don't know. Don't let go of things that you know because of things that you don't know. You know, I don't know how the moon affects the tide, but I keep swimming in the ocean. There are some things that I don't understand. I had a guy one time when I was pastoring a church. He helped me to, we were doing some tile on our floors. He was not saved. He had been a friend of mine for years. And he said, he showed up at my church. I'd preached the funeral of another guy that I had gone to school with when I was a kid. And he was at the funeral. He said he was going to come visit my church. And he started coming, ended up getting born again, praise God. But we had made an announcement about retiling the floors in our church, and we were going to hire it done. And he goes, "Hey, I do tile." He said, "If you'll help me, I'll teach you how to do it." And I thought, that seemed like a pretty good deal to me. And so he came over there, and we were getting to spend days together, kind of ministering to him some. And he said, "You know, one of the things that keeps me from being born again is," he said, "I just can't understand how..." The story, he said, some of the stories in the Bible, he said the one about Jonah. He said, how does a guy live in a fish for 3 days? How can he be in the water like that for 3 days? And I guess he was expecting me to say, I don't know. But what I did say was, you did it for 9 months. You were swimming in a sack of water for 9 months. If God could do it once, could he do it again? Why am I saying that? I don't go by what I don't know. I go by what I do know. And if we'll go by what we do know, what we don't know and what we don't understand won't bother us so bad. We know that God gave us a dream, something he's calling us to do, so hold on to that. You know, the story of Joseph... Joseph went through a pit, Potiphar's place. He went to a prison, all before he ever got to the palace. But God was still good in all of it. In the Apostle Paul's life, we find this. He said that he was pressed on every side. He says he's pressed but not crushed. He was persecuted but not abandoned. He was struck down but not destroyed. We know that God's no respecter of persons. So if he'd do it for Paul, would he do it for you? So just because I don't know something, just because I don't understand something, just because I faced a disappointment is no reason for me to let go of the things that I do know. And what I do know is this, God is good. And no matter what I'm facing, I may not know every circumstance, I may not know every situation, I may not know why everything happened, but I don't have to know all the other stuff because I do know some stuff. And the things that I do know help to hold me steady, that my God has always been faithful, he has always provided for me, he has always showed up, he has always been good to me, he sent his son to die for me, and he loves me, and if he loves me, he loves you too. We know some things. And in the middle of our disappointment, if we'll remember that we do know some things about our God, those things we don't know won't bother us so bad. What do we do with the disappointments when they come? Habakkuk said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Whenever something comes, you know, he's the same one that said the just shall live by faith in Habakkuk 2. He's the one that said write the vision, make it plain. Sometimes we ought to write some things down where God's been good to us. I keep a list in my phone of everywhere that God has done something or his word has come to pass in my life. I've been believing for something. Why? So I can go back and I can scroll through that list to remind me of all the times that my God has been faithful. All the times that he's been good to me. Glory to God. How do we gain victory over the things that we're facing, the difficulties, the problems? We're not going to get to fears tonight. Maybe next time. How do we accomplish those things? Or how do we gain victory over those issues that come up in our life? Prepare today for the battles that you and I know that we're going to have to endure. If Jesus said in this world we would have trouble, prepare today for the battles you know you're going to have to endure tomorrow. Oh, glory to God. So it's one of the reasons why a daily dose of God's word is so good for us. Scripture says it does good like a medicine. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Prepare today for the battles that we know we're going to have to endure. If we fail to prepare today for the battles we'll face in our future, we're destined to fall short of our victories. Heavyweight boxer Joe Frazier said this. He said, you can map out a fight plan or a life plan, but when the action starts, it may not go the way you planned. He said, and then you're down to your reflexes. That means your preparation. That's where your road work shows. If you cheated on that in the dark of the morning, you're about to get found out under the bright lights. If we'll prepare today for those battles we'll face later, we won't get so caught off guard. Make a decision that you're going to live a lifestyle of living and walking out your faith every day. It's an old Navy SEAL motto that says this, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. And if we'll take some time to prepare now when things, you know, there are seasons where everything's going good. You ever experience those seasons? Glory to God. During those seasons, it's not a time for us to lay back and rest. It's a time for us to prepare, knowing that the enemy is going to try to get us off course. Knowing that the enemy is going to come. Why? Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came so we could have life and have it more abundantly. So we're prepared because we're not ignorant of his devices. Amen? We need to recognize that there are enemies that are trying to keep us from experiencing God's best. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18, our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that's vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we see now. Rather, we fix our eyes on things that we don't see. The psalmist said this, Psalm 35, verse 5, it says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. We have to trust in the faithfulness of God, knowing that he's able to turn our tears into triumph. Knowing that he's able to turn our disappointments into our destiny. That there's going to come a point that if we'll stay with God, we'll understand that, oh, there may be some stuff I don't know. But what I do know is this, God is faithful. What I do know is this, God said he'd never leave me. He'd never fail me, never forsake me. He's right there with me. And so even in the midst of my battle, even in the midst of my difficulties, no matter the problem, no matter the thing the enemy brings, God is still there and God is still faithful and he will bring me through. Amen? Why don't you stand on your feet? We better stop tonight. Connection team, or the altar care, I'm sorry, can come. Guys, we make this offer to you at the end of our services on Sunday evenings. The altar care team's coming down here. If you've been facing battles in your life, you've been facing difficulties, I'm going to pray a general prayer. But afterwards, I want you, if you've got something specific that you're wanting to have somebody pray with you in agreement for, I want you to come down here. The ladies come to the ladies. The men come to the men. But if you've been facing something, the enemy's got you in a corner, got you convinced that you're the only one that's ever gone through what you've gone through. You're the only one that's ever faced the problem that you face. Yeah, but you don't know how big this issue is. Oh, my family's been torn apart. You don't know what it's like. Oh, this illness that I've been dealing with. You don't know what it's like. The enemy comes to all of us. But I want you to know that God is faithful to bring you through. Father God, I'm praying tonight for everyone within the sound of my voice. If they're watching online right now, or maybe they're in this building, Lord, help them to understand that there is a God in heaven that loves them, that you love them, and you want to bring them through whatever it is they're facing. Lord, I thank you. Lord, Jesus said that his peace he left with us. Lord, I pray that they would experience your peace in a greater measure than they have before this day. That the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of the believer would just begin to minister to them right there where they're at. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you're good. Lord, you're good. Lord, you're so good to me. Lord, you're good. Lord, you're good. Lord, you have set us free. Oh, Lord, help them to see that you've made a way of escape. Help them to see that there's a way out. Lord, don't let them leave here downtrodden and discouraged. Lord, let them come and be encouraged by other believers that are going to stand with them tonight. Let them leave here knowing that they've got victory. Victory belongs to them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you guys for your attentiveness tonight. We love you and appreciate you. Be back on Wednesday for Hour of the Power. Is there anything else? Nothing else. God bless you guys. Be sure, if you need prayer, you come down front. Everyone else, thank you for being here tonight. We love you. We'll see you on Wednesday.